This is Community Voices. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. We continue with our special this week of getting to know the staff of NPR Illinois. And joining us for this segment is our business manager, Audrey Ballett. Audrey, welcome to Community Voices.
Thanks, Randy.
We hear your voice on the air. You do some underwriting announcements, I know, in the past, and some promos and things. It's an excellent voice. Good to hear you on the air. But that's not your primary role here. What do you do for the station?
I'm the business manager, so I handle pretty much all things business related to the station.
What does that work look like to somebody from outside?
It's a lot of different work. I handle the invoicing, billing. I handle reconciling.
Just about anything we need to get stuff done around the station. Billing, invoices, tracking things. At the university, you're sort of the key point person who plugs us into the university system.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So basically what Audrey does for us is it makes it so all of us can focus on our primary areas, and she handles all the other stuff. It might be your emails that come in to comment about the station. It can be a lot of different things. She's the primary person you meet when you first come here inside the door to the studios. She's in the reception area. That's where her office desk is. So you get to deal with the community a lot. I imagine most of the time that's really fun. Once in a while, you probably get some strange calls.
I do. Occasionally, I get some odd calls. Sometimes we get some not very nice calls. But ultimately, for the most part, my interactions are lovely, and I get to speak with a lot of contributors to the station as well. And usually that's before I pass them on to our development director, Kate.
That's great. Audrey, you are from Springfield, or where were you born?
I'm from Springfield, yes.
Okay. And how did you find yourself getting to NPR Illinois?
My business background is primarily related to I had worked within banking. And it just so happened my husband had worked out here at the university for nearly 20 years, and he had noticed the job posting and thought, wow, two things that my wife can do. You know, she can do business, and she adores NPR Illinois. And so it was just a nice little match made in heaven.
How did you come to enjoy NPR Illinois?
Oh, I think our listeners may have actually heard this one before. It started really when I was a late teenager, and I was listening to Carl Scroggins' morning classical music program. And that's when I discovered that I liked classical music. And then I kept listening like throughout the day beyond morning, and I would hear the programming in the afternoon and into the evening, and I just really liked it. And so I kind of just switched over to NPR Illinois.
When you were younger, what'd you find that you enjoyed doing?
Oh, wow. Let's see. As a child, I would have to say it was just playing with my older sister around the neighborhood. Our neighborhood had more elderly people in it, and they seemed to be perfectly happy with us traipsing through their yards on a daily basis. And so, like a lot of kids in the 80s, I spent my childhood outdoors, coming home for meals and when the streetlights went on.
Free range, I think.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah. You have a family yourself. You mentioned your husband. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple daughters.
I do. I have two daughters.
And what did they do in town before they got older?
Both of my girls were involved in sports. My younger daughter was soccer, and my older daughter was volleyball.
And one of them interned here.
Oh, she did. Yes, the older one. Yes, Chloe. Chloe was an intern here as well. After her freshman year in college, she came home and spent the summer with us. They have flown the coop.
How's that feel to have the empty nest?
It's not too bad. That was my whole point in with raising children is that eventually they're going to leave me, and that's okay. That's how it's supposed to be. And so while I miss having them around and just kind of hanging out together, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and they're both doing it very well.
You did more than just work in banking. Didn't you spend some time overseas?
Yes. Quite a long time ago, I was an au pair in Paris.
What was that like? What do you remember from that?
Well, I remember loving Paris. I also remember that it's very difficult to live in a place where you can't readily and easily understand pretty much everyone else. It can be very isolating. It can be lonely. But ultimately, because I was so young, I was just 21, I found my feet. I learned to trust myself. And I think that was, that's the largest lesson that I walked away with, was that I can do okay on my own. I just have to trust myself.
Did you speak the language?
Not very well. I had had lots of high school and college French classes, but I was not fluent by any means. And I do know my host father did comment right before I left that in the short time that I had been there, my French was getting better. But the hard part is just understanding it being spoken to you and then coming up with the answer back. That's the most difficult. Reading is the easiest.
Being immersed really helps.
It does. It does. Yes. Part of being an au pair is that you are part-time childcare and part-time student. And so you're required to take the language classes, and they are immersive. And I found that that's really the best way to learn a language.
I've heard some stories where the French in particular are not very nice to folks who don't speak their language. Was that your experience?
Sometimes. I definitely did run into that. But I was also in a large city, and I think that happens at any large city around the world where people are just, you know, moving at their own pace, and they're a little bit less interested in slowing down for a foreigner. I also experienced great kindness. In most cases, I discovered that if I just started with some French, the person I was speaking with would immediately recognize that this was not a language I was comfortable in, and they almost always switched over to English.
It's amazing. Most of them are bilingual.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in Phoenix for a while, and if you pop on one of the Spanish language television or radio stations, I had taken 6 years of Spanish, but the speed at which the speaking was being done is not how you learn.
No, not at all. I think English speakers speak slowly.
Yeah. I could read some billboards. Those were my speed, you know? So
exactly.
It was all good. Have you wanted to go back to France at all, or did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it very much. I was only there for a short period of time, about 4 months. I really missed the kind of living over there. In fact, my husband and I, we were able to get back to France last year. We took an anniversary trip back there.
Great. Yeah, I remember you taking some time for that. That's good. Any other world travels somewhere else you'd like to see?
Oh, most definitely. I would be hard-pressed to really nail down exactly where I want to go. But I know probably Eastern Europe, Western Europe, really kind of everywhere, especially if there's history. If there's history, I want to be there.
Why the history?
I've always adored history, but it's not something that one can easily get a degree in and then actually find a job.
Is that what you got your degree in?
No, it's not.
You're in the right place for history. Mm-hmm. What did you get your degree in?
I have a liberal arts degree.
That sort of applies to anything you want to take on.
Exactly.
Learn how to learn.
Really? Yes.
Now, you also said you worked in banking for a while, and you ended up coming here from that. What did you like about banking, and what was it that made you decide you might want to move from it?
Well, I particularly enjoyed the structure and the organizational skills. I worked with our clients directly. I was a teller. I loved the fast-paced speed when I was working with my customers. And I think the reason why I wanted to move on from it was there really wasn't a place to move up from where I was into a role that I would enjoy as much as working directly with the public.
So you mentioned you're a fan of NPR, and that was an attraction to the station. Since you've been here, what stood out to you about the experience?
The experience, I think, is that I and all of my coworkers are doing exactly what I sort of imagined all those years that I was listening. They're doing exactly what I always thought that they would be doing. And that was making making the production and airing of everything that is heard. That's the center of their jobs. That's the goal. When I came here and I realized that, I realized, wow, I mean, we really, really have to love what we're doing in order to continue doing it every single day.
They sometimes call it the nonprofit discount, where people get involved with something they really care about. Mm-hmm. But because it's a nonprofit, you're not going to get rich doing it.
No. I mean, I suppose that could be the case. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're fortunate that the donors support the station to the level that we are paid fairly. You're usually not going to get rich in public media. I don't even think Ira Glass has gotten rich, per se. I think he's done all right.
Yes. Yes. He is. He is rich in experience and wealth. That's the wealth he has, is the experience.
When you get calls, and if you have to give somebody advice about NPR Illinois or tell them about the station, what do you tell them?
Well, if they're unfamiliar with the station, I would just start with that we are a public radio station located on a university campus here in Springfield, Illinois. And then I would need to get a little bit more information about what it is that they're calling for. How can I help them?
Right. Well, you do a great job of that. So, and we're so thankful for Audrey, because she really does help us route those calls the right places, so that we used to all have to pick up the phone at the same time before Audrey was here, or all we'd hear the door ring and we'd all stick our heads out our doorways, and all up and down the hall you'd see everybody look at each other trying to figure out who was going to get the door. We're really happy she's here for so many different reasons. She's been a great part of the culture. She looks out and pays attention to special events that are coming up and things. So thank you for that. What would you give to somebody, just in general, as advice going forward, as you've lived an interesting life so far? So what would you give somebody as advice?
Not to underestimate themselves. They're capable of so very much, as long as they put a little trust in themselves, keep their eyes and their ears open, and pay attention.
And what does the future look like to you?
There's definitely going to be traveling in the future, for sure.
Excellent. That's good to hear. We like that. We also hope to be able to continue to have you here for a while to take good care of us. We appreciate that. Anything else you'd like to leave people with?
Well, another aspect of my position is working with the air traffic. And that's part of my job that I particularly enjoy.
To make sure people understand, air traffic is actually scheduling.
Yes, it is. It is scheduling. I like to liken it to airplanes, and you've got all of this traffic going on in the sky, and the air traffic controllers have to make sense of it and keep it all going seamlessly. And that's sort of how radio traffic is there's a lot that's happening on the radio, and it just needs to be organized in the right order so that it works.
A schedule here is called a log, and you make sure the logs are put together. And
yes,
that air traffic you're tracking through specific software you've had to learn is announcements and programs. They all appear on the log. Mm-hmm. And then every day you make sure that those are scheduled, but then you also follow up to make sure that they aired.
Correct. Yes. And then I'm lucky that I also get to work with day sponsors. We do have a new GPSI intern with us, Judah White, and he is also assisting with that. So you will hear his voice much more, which is going to be lovely, not just my own.
And he has a beautiful, deep voice.
Oh, yes, he does. Yes.
We're so happy that you help all the students in particular, as they come to work here, feel comfortable and have an office assignment and have, you know, you really take care. You're much more than glue, but glue is really important.
So, I will stick to you.
I think you help everybody else stick and not fall off. So that's really good. We appreciate you coming into Community Voices today and sharing a little bit of yourself, so folks get to know what the behind the scenes look like here.
Yes, no, it's lovely to talk with you today, Randy.
What does the Community Voices process look like? Well, it starts with trying to identify a good neighbor to talk to, or an event that may be interesting that for some folks it may be hard to get to. first we get that on the radar, figure out when that is going to happen if there is a date involved with it. But more than anything, we depend on you to suggest a guest. By emailing communityvoices@mprillinois.org, we then go into a process of getting in contact with that person, figuring out if there's enough there, which there usually is, to talk about to help us get to know a little bit more about them or what they're working on or an event that's coming up. We have them come into the studios here at MPR Illinois and do an interview. That interview then gets edited and scheduled to air. It eventually comes on the air and then also gets posted at mprillinois.org, where we share it on social media and encourage our guests and you to do so too. If you've missed a past Community Voices, go to mprillinois.org right now, and thanks for being part of Community Voices. Community Voices is happy to celebrate 5 years of helping us get to know our neighbors and shedding light on events we may have missed. Community Voices started in 2020 as a vision to respond to the pandemic and the need to get to talk with each other more. We've continued that for 5 years with a variety of tremendous guests coming in. Thanks for being part of the first 5 years of Community Voices.